for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken, right here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM, streaming live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKV app for Android and Apple users. Tonight's program is made possible in part by Whitaker Bank, Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Powell County CSEP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, Citizens Guarantee Bank, Clark Regional Medical Center, Hinkle Contracting, Davis & Davis Funeral Home, Toyota South, Ace Hardware & Feed, People's Exchange Bank, Teddy Flint, Attorney at Law, Whitaker Insurance Group, Protect Security & Fire Systems, and Apex Network Physical Therapy. Let's join Ken and Dave for PCSN Live from the Stanton Studio.
And good afternoon and welcome everyone to another edition of PCSN Live here on WSKV 104.9 FM. This is David Faulkner along with Ken Simon, and we have made a little bit of a program update for you guys. We are no longer going to do our COVID updates. We're just going to go straight on with sports and give you an hour of sports versus me or Ken, either one, ranting about the COVID stuff that's going on out there. So not that we're out of the woods yet, but we're just going to pass on the reports and go straight to sports.
Yeah, just as a quick sidebar, Powell County is still considered high based on the CDC standards. So, again, we're not necessarily out of the woods yet. As much as it is, it's just time to transition where everything is kind of slowing down as far as all of the news reports. So we'll kind of stick back to sports, which what originally this was intended for.
That is exactly right. We got a lot to cover tonight. We'll have a guest in here in a little bit. Hopefully they remember tonight. He told me he would today. So it'd be Frank Spencer, probably the next 20 minutes or so. But we got a lot to cover in that 20 minutes.
Yeah, actually, let's go back and we'll talk about the girls' Sweet 16. We'll start off with that. Going back in the opening round, it was Bowling Green defeating Letcher County Central 58-45, Cooper over Pikeville 57-37, George Rogers Clark over Corbin 42-35, and Sacred Heart over Anderson County 48-38. That was actually the opening round. And then day number two, Southwestern beat Franklin County 47-40, Bullet East over Meade County 62-47, Cooper over Bowling Green 55-47, and Sacred Heart over George Rogers Clark 59-40. And then that set up going into the semifinals. Bullet East defeated Southwestern 66-42. Sacred Heart over Cooper 50-29. And then the championship game, it was Sacred Heart defeating Bullet East 64-46 for Sacred Heart to go back-to-back championships. You knew that they were going to be a tough team to beat. We talked about that the week prior, in a sense, as far as them being one of the strong teams there. And obviously, they proved that they were definitely champions.
They not only won the Sweet 16, they actually dominated their games.
Yeah.
So, seems like, to me, there's a little bit of a big gap between a private school out of Louisville and all the other public schools. But
And we've had that conversation before. Yeah. You can even go back to football in many respects. Trinity and St. X, Covington Catholic.
Dominate 6A football.
Yeah, even Lexington Catholic, in a sense, you know, they definitely have an upper hand in many respects because at that point, you truly can recruit players, and they're doing it coming out of middle school. You know, at that point, here I'm going to offer you a scholarship to come to play at Trinity or St. X or whatever and give and pay your tuition, and here you come play football for us, and that's how they dominate. When you've got 80 to 100 kids.
Yeah, and I don't have a problem per se with the private schools. I do think a lot of people say, well, should we have a private school state tournament, a state school state tournament? No, we should have a state tournament for all schools. I like the way we do things. But there is that argument that, like, the private schools definitely, or at least some private schools, not all, some private schools have a definite upper hand over your regular public schools. So, it's a definite advantage for the private school. We'll just kind of go there. And in basketball, it's I don't know how many they've won out of the last 20, but I would say it's a good portion.
Yeah, especially the teams coming out of Louisville.
Yeah.
Again, at that point, if you're able to recruit and get players on your team, of course, it doesn't equate to all sports.
No.
Because you don't necessarily hear Trinity and St. X being some big power in basketball necessarily.
No, but you do in golf. You do in some of the minor sports, I think you do see that.
Agreed, yeah.
More. And then when you get to the major sports, I don't think you see it, like you said, as much. Basketball seems to be the one, and football are the two kind of, I guess you call it baseball, softball kind of sports. You don't see as much of those in baseball or softball, But I think you do in some of the really minor sports, even wrestling, all those other sports that are small compared. I think you see a big advantage to the private schools. They get the best of the best in those. You look at all the list of state champions in golf in the last 20 years, and you're going to find a bunch of St. X, Trinity, and then the women's, on the women's side as well, you'll see that with Sacred Heart and some of the others that come in with really the dominant programs.
And on one hand, obviously the tradition plays into that. When you come in with that mindset that we are champions, yeah, we're going to play like champions, and therefore you do that, so therefore your work ethic goes up a notch.
And it also gets back to how much money goes into your programs.
Sure, absolutely.
And that's where, and we've talked about that till, you know, the cows come home. You know, here in Powell County, we just don't have the funding that we need to compete with some other schools. I mean, if you just look at just right across the mountain with Estill County, all the new things they are getting in a proactive sports deal they got going on right now, it's really nice. Upgrades their football field, softball, baseball, upgrades to all those. They've got all the new high-tech stuff going in over there. I did talk to Coach Lynn West last night. He came to our game and still can't get on their field to practice or do anything yet. So they lost their first game, and he said that was part of it. They haven't seen the field. Only 5 days, they have to still go down to the Kiwanis Park when it's not underwater. So we've had enough rain to where they've had a problem getting outside to practice even. So, but they did lose their first one. And again, you kind of feel for those people that don't have a good place just to go practice until they get their upgrades, which we kind of schedule our softball schedule around. We flipped our dates so we could play the home game here, because he wasn't sure they'd have it ready until at least the end of the month. So, again, it comes with some issues, but, man, what it's going to be like when it gets finished is going to be pretty nice.
Yeah, and I think, obviously, the upgrade in facilities, that attracts more people. You get more sponsors, in a sense, yeah, because now at this point you realize it's a better facility. Therefore, I want to advertise or sponsor, you know, put my name on a on a board in the outfield or wherever it might be.
And you've already got tradition-rich programs, even baseball, or especially softball. But baseball as well at Estill County is really strong. I mean, they're always going to be one of your main competitors. I think Powell County kind of is up there as well with baseball. But Estill County is usually always in the picture now with Hazard. That's always up there now. So it's a nice addition. You know, when we went to Letcher County a few years ago when they built all their new stuff, man, all the talk was about Letcher Central. They, you know, new baseball field, new gym, new football complex, and then now they got a state-of-the-art softball complex. Just, in my opinion, it's the best facility in Eastern Kentucky. So, I mean, there are still some really top-notch programs, but they spent quite a bit of money to get those.
Well, even go to Lee County, as far as the community, you know, where they've started playing their ball now, you know, a community park in a sense.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, you know, that's a great facility that they even have there. But ultimately, it goes back to, as great as you can have facilities, you still have to put in the hard work and the dedication to develop yourself in order to get to that next level, in order to win the championship.
Yeah, the pride factor to me is part of it, and I think we don't have enough pride in our if we don't have enough pride to get better stuff for our kids, then we don't put it out there that we really care in the community. And I would agree with that.
And
I think this community really does care. I mean, if you do a fundraiser, if you do an academic fundraiser versus an athletics fundraiser, I think you get a whole lot more money on the athletic side. And I'm not knocking academics at all, but it just seems like when you talk about community, we can all join in to root for the Powell County Pirates. And it just seemed like it's a little bit easier because you've got a lot of folks that care about athletics at the school system. You probably, and really, if you look at your enrollment, you got 700 plus kids at the school. You probably have 300 kids involved in extracurricular athletics. That's a good number of your school. And those parents, those kids, they love what we have, and we'll love what we have to offer. But if we can make it a little bit better, maybe we have 400 kids involved. And even make it even better than what it is. When we talk about the numbers in football, let's get them up. Even soccer, softball, all the sports, let's get more numbers up and get more people involved. And I think if the community kind of pushed it more, we'd be there.
I think one of the biggest issues we have as a community, though, is transportation in many respects.
I don't agree with that.
It's not like, you know, our numbers as far as if students on free and reduced lunch, again, this is, you know, public information. You know, we're about 70% in our community. So therefore, you might have a child who is a great athlete, mm-hmm. let's say at the elementary or middle school, but I can't afford to take them to the practices, you know, and pick them up and drop them off and supply them money for food and trips and things along those lines. So therefore,
there's a gap,
and there's a lot of kids that aren't able to play who are great athletes. Well, and then you have those that don't necessarily want that full organized ball to play at the high school level. So therefore, I will go and play in a church league because it's not nearly as demanding.
I get the same thing, but you know, you look at you kind of look at it like, you know, now this year, I know for an example, we've got a sponsor that's going to get us meals on our away games. I know, I think that baseball, I talked to Frank, I think he picked up a sponsor to pick up his meals for away games. So the kids won't be out as much because we've got now, we've talked to sponsors and folks that are concerned about our kids, and they're going to help us out a little bit after the fact. That's nice. Something I haven't always had, for sure. This is the first year that I've ever had somebody just come up to me and say, we'd like to get you all food for your away games. And it doesn't sound like a lot, but when you stop at a Shell Mart, I'm not just promoting Shell, but I'm just saying,
yeah,
that
sure.
Or a Yellow gas station, it's you're going to spend $8-$10 a kid, and if you stop twice, you're spending $20, and this helps out at least for part of that. So it makes it a nice little addition to what we're doing for our kids, and for your kids, that also would help those types of kids if they know these things are going on.
Correct, and if there was some way that we could provide some of that transportation, in a sense, as an example, let's say in Little League, you've got a kid that lives in the Bowen School District, and now all of a sudden, let's say they live closer to Slade, but yet they were drafted by the team that's practicing at Clay City. It's a long way for a kid to go to practice, and when you start adding up the games and the practices and the gas and all of that under those circumstances, it makes it a little bit difficult, so therefore some parents can't afford that based on their own income and other children, et cetera.
That throws back the other argument here where, maybe let's think about going back to our schools and running our programs. Maybe make it a little bit easier for the Bowen kid to go to Bowen. The Stanton kid comes to Stanton. The Clay City kid's going to Clay City. We're playing our Little League now with back to the school like it used to be. I know there's, well, I wanted away from that. I think now I kind of want it back. I mean, it's just, and it will make it easier for the kids that you don't have that long drive, unless your kids go out of district and they're, or whatever. But,
right.
You know, your Bowens usually had one team. Stanton usually had two or three. Clay City had two or three. That being said, you got seven or eight teams competing, and they should be all fairly level, I would think. So I like to see go back to the schools a little bit.
Yeah, and again, ultimately it just goes back to, I feel like that there are some student-athletes that are out there that aren't given a fair opportunity because of the economic status of their family. Well,
Maybe provide extra transportation on Saturdays. Maybe you talk to the district and who's in charge and say, hey, we're going to go out on Saturdays. We're going to pick you up to come play these games on a Little League night. We're going to do these extras for the school system. I mean, I think they can swing some of those things. You know?
And again, I agree with you. And ultimately, it still goes back to, if a kid really wants to do something, they have the talent, parents will find a way for their kid to participate in those things. At least you would hope that they would, then take it from there.
Yeah, we'll step away for a break here, and we'll come back and talk a little bit about the Sweet 16 boys, and then we'll get right into it with Coach Frank Spencer, who just walked in. So we'll take a break here on PCSN Live with Dave and Ken.
There's only one Jeep, and there's only one place for you to get the best deal on the new 2022 Jeep products. From Renegade to Grand Cherokee, Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram is the place to buy. Some of the best deals of the year are going on now during the President's Day sales event. 0% financing and rebates up to $7,000 make buying a new Jeep more affordable than ever. Shop local before you buy anything. That's Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Stanton.
Tanner Dodge Chrysler Jeep.
Protec Security and Fire Systems. Your security is our business. Visit the Powell County Sports Network page at WSKVFM.com.
With Whitaker Bank's new home equity line of credit, qualified applicants can borrow up to 90% of their home's value with no closing cost. With Whitaker Bank's home equity line of credit, you only pay back 1% of your balance monthly, and you process your withdrawals with Whitaker Electronic Banking. Stop by Whitaker Bank and see how our new home equity line of credit can help you. Whitaker Bank proudly supports your Powell County Pirates. Whitaker Bank is uniquely Kentucky, member FDIC, and an equal housing lender.
Can you believe it? We're actually talking off the air about sports.
Yeah. imagine us doing that.
Who does that? Let's get right into the boys' state tournament today and give you the two final scores and what the two upcoming games, or the rest of the upcoming games for the tournament.
So in the opening round, the first game of the day, Lincoln County defeated J-Town out of Louisville 45-41. And then North Oldham defeated Muhlenberg County 36-32. So two very close games, four-point margin there. And then the game currently underway, Perry County Central, George Rogers Clark. And then the nightcap will have North Laurel and Pikeville. We'll go back to those games. And then tomorrow, Covington Catholic, Ashland Blazer, Lyon County and John Harden, Warren Central and Mayo, and then Henry Clay and Murray.
Go Ashland.
Well, there you go.
That'd be the only mountain school thing that's got a chance. Maybe North Laurel, maybe a little bit of an outside chance, Pikeville. We'll have to see tonight if that game plays out. Should be a good game. North Laurel, Pikeville should be a good one. I'm not sure what you're going to see out of this GRC Perry matchup. I believe you're going to see a 30-point win by GRC.
It wouldn't surprise me. The only thing that I think that Perry Central actually has going for them, potentially, their press, which has been effective for them throughout the year, if they can create a lot of turnovers and get points
off of those turnovers, I
think it'll be closer, but I still think GRC easily wins by 15.
I'm not saying it's going to be a... I'm not saying Perry Central's not a good team. I'm just thinking that GRC is probably
a notch above,
three steps above.
Yeah.
Again, legal recruiting that goes on there is all good.
Well, there you go. If you just want to throw that out there.
Well, I mean, it is what it is. I mean,
well, it's almost like a private school. It's just different.
It's just different. It is what it is. It's all fun. Again, if you can get away with getting some good kids come to your program, and with what we talk facilities again. And Frank's seen the facilities down there. They're amazing. So what they can sell that stuff on, pretty simple to sell when you look at what they've got to offer. I'm telling you, it would be a place I wouldn't even care to go. As far as if I want to go coach somewhere, that'd be a nice place to go. You know, I know Coach Varney's down there now, and that's hats off to him. Congratulations. But he'd been wanting to go there for years before they got all this nice stuff. So now he's really going to be in heaven for a while. I think it's just, the facilities are just that of a college level, I would at least think, right?
Yeah, I think GRC's baseball field in particular, you know, I've spent probably four or five games down there in the last couple of years. I put them at number two in terms of baseball facilities in the state, regardless of level, simply behind Kentucky's brand new park.
Is that nice?
It's better than Louisville's. Just like, just the atmosphere, the field, and all that stuff. It's better. Louisville's better than Western's. EKU's got a brand new field, but GRC. I mean, it's a high school.
All right. Yeah, and the indoor facilities they have is. I'm sure you've been in there, and it's. Mm-hmm. Oh man, I'm just. Forget it, dude. I mean, it's the weight room is first class. Their indoor facilities. I don't know if anybody's got indoor facilities like that at a high school level. I mean, it's really. They did a really good job when they upgraded their athletics program with their school. I don't know, they were on a tier level, and I know they got better tax base than what we do here, but man, the growth they're going to do.
In the big picture though, too, as a community, we're going to have to invest in facilities like that though, in order to keep up. One of the things too, I think even as far as attracting industry, you know, to bring in industry, whatever else, we don't necessarily have the infrastructure, and a lot of times, corporations will look at schools, facilities, your parks, that kind of thing, in order to determine if that's going to be a good match and good fit for them. And I don't think we necessarily measure up of the other counties.
When you talk about 15 years ago, though, this growth was going on in Montgomery County.
Yeah.
New gym, new football, you know, resurfacing their football field, doing all these really nice things. That was in Montgomery. Clark County had to catch up with Montgomery and did so in a big way. And I like it. You know, they had one of the best softball facilities going at the time anyway. Mm-hmm. And now they're probably second to no one. I mean, it's that nice of a facility. Now, whether you'd like to be on turf or not, that's a whole different argument. But, man, would it be nice to not have to get out and work for 2 hours, get your field ready before a game started?
Well, at this point, with the way turf is anymore, you're almost you're better off going in that direction.
Well, I mean, it's just yesterday I got to the field at 12:30. And I was worked on the field until Game time is, 4:15. We were ready. And I don't know, yours is, you have to work about 2 hours a day just to get it ready to go for a game. And it's just, it's, people don't understand that. And it's at least 30 minutes after the game to re-prep it
for sure
tomorrow. So the game lasts 2 hours and the prep time is 2.5. Just go figure.
And I'm at the field from probably August to December.
Yeah, well, you all done a really good job. I didn't do a good job, which is why I'm late catching up. But they've been working on theirs all year long. So
we broke down a four-wheeler, a golf cart, and a bunker rake because we've used it so much. Like, well, no, I don't have anything to drag the field with right now.
You're out of stuff.
We're done.
Out of stuff.
We've been lucky enough to have those things that are at our disposal, but right now we don't have anything.
All right. Before we get in with Frank here, we're going to take another break here on PCS and Live. We're going to get back to baseball, high school baseball. We may throw in some red stuff here in a minute, but who knows where we go here on BCS in Live with David Ken.
There's only one Jeep, and there's only one place for you to get the best deal on the new 2022 Jeep products. From Renegade to Grand Cherokee, Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram is the place to buy. Some of the best deals of the year are going on now during the President's Day sales event. 0% financing and rebates up to $7,000 make buying a new Jeep more affordable than ever. Shop local before you buy anything. That's Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Stanton.
Tanner Dodge Chrysler.
Community, what does the word mean to you? Here at Citizens Guaranty Bank, community means everything. It's why we do what we do. As our community grows, we are here to be your helping hand, putting your dreams to work. Our community has very exciting opportunities and challenges. Let us help you build your future and meet the future needs of our community. My name is James Clark, the Powell County Market President here at Citizens Guaranty Bank. At Citizens, we are your hometown bank, and we are here for you because we are you.
Stop by any of our convenient locations in Stanton, Irvin, Berea, Richmond, and London. My money, my bank, my CGB.
Citizens Guaranteed Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender. Qualifications and rules may apply. See institution for details.
Toyota South in Richmond is moving forward. Family owned and operated since 1915. Meet General Manager Charlie Johnson.
I was raised right here in Powell County by my grandparents. They taught me to be honest and treat others with courtesy and respect. And that's what you can expect from me. I would like to personally invite you to take the short drive to Toyota South in Richmond. Whether you're looking for a new or used vehicle, as General Manager at Toyota South, I will make your short drive well worth your time. Come see me soon at Toyota South in Richmond.
Toyota South in Richmond. Online at toyotasouth.com or call their friendly staff at 877-605-4326.
March is National Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month. A colonoscopy at Clark Regional Medical Center is a screening that helps find polyps, which can be removed before they become cancerous. Colonoscopies can also identify cancers early, when treatment is most effective. If you're 45 or older, ask your doctor about a colonoscopy. Clark Regional Medical Center, count on us. Learn more at clarkregional.org.
New driveway, parking lot, or large aggregate need? Hinkle Contracting Company specializes in all things crushed aggregate. They provide expert delivery and more, depending on size of application. Call Natural Bridgestone today at 606-663-2815 or Tipton Ridge Quarry at 606-723-4881 or find out more information at hinklecontracting.com. For all of your asphalt and aggregate needs, think Hinkle Contracting Company.
And welcome back here to PCS in Live. We'll stop talking about the old round ball for right now. We may throw in some Kentucky NCAA action a little bit later on. Old Frank likes UK basketball. Sir. So we got Frank Spencer, head coach of Powell County Pirates baseball. Opening day is?
Friday. We play at Morgan County on Friday.
Okay, first home game next week?
First home game is scheduled for this Saturday. We have a doubleheader.
That is right, yeah.
Where we moved the games up a week. I scheduled a couple of teams needed to move their games earlier, so we worked it out. We're going to play McGoffin County at 11, and then Mason County's coming down, and we're going to play them right after that.
So do they play each other?
No, it's just us playing both.
One game for them, you
two
play
two. Games for me.
Pretty good deal for you.
Yeah, we get out of there in and out quick. I like Saturdays. I love doubleheaders and triangle games. A lot of the teams in our region tend to do that on Saturday, and there's nothing better going on a Saturday on a real nice day and getting in two games and getting out of there. It's fun.
Totally agree. I mean, It's going to where I think economically, I mean, Saturdays are kind of the way to do it anyway, if you're going to play more than one game with a varsity. It's hard right now, early in the season, as you know, to get them in. Mm-hmm. When it's not really cold, but now, last night we opened up and it was, I mean, I was sweating on the field yesterday, so it's a different March for me last night. It was the first warm opening day. Now, yours might not be as warm on Friday or as dry.
Yeah, that's what we're worried about. We've been talking about, like, you know, are we going to play Saturday? If we are going to play Saturday, we're going to move our pitching staff up a day, let a certain kid pitch on Friday to try to take care of that game, and then we got all next week and start playing again on Monday at home. So hopefully we don't get a lot of rains because we have four games right here in the next 3 days that we have to try to get in.
Now, does Morgan County have a tarp for their field?
I have no idea, to be honest with you.
So that's the first. That's down in the lower land, I guess, if you will. I would call it there along the river. So it may get a little bit more moisture in that area. I would think it hold up. I know they got some nice new stuff up there, but I don't know if they had a
tarp. I don't think they didn't do anything with the baseball field whenever all the
tornado. Oh, they didn't?
No. They've been playing the same field since I played in high school.
But I thought they had made some upgrades to it, at least with the fencing and stuff
that
like
may
that,
have
maybe.
Been true. It was a pretty good playing surface when we went up there. I think they have maybe a new concession stand area right in a centralized location.
Yeah, softball field, baseball softball right together.
Field, yeah, right back there.
Yeah, it's a really nice complex. It's just out in the middle of nowhere. Just kind of got to find it, right?
Yep.
So what do you got going forward for you this year? You got senior leadership in the pitching, or are you senior laden? How is your team roster breaking down?
We have three seniors. None of them pitch. We have I don't know the right number of juniors, but we have a couple of junior pitchers that are helping us out this year. We're going to depend on a lot. We have a couple of injuries that are, you know, being detrimental for us right now. It's going to hurt us there in the first, you know, few weeks of the season. But we also got we're going to be, you know, probably starting five sophomores, maybe a freshman here and there.
So we're still in the building process of what we can be, right?
Yeah. The thing is, the sophomores that are starting have been with us since they were in seventh grade. So they're ultimately, they feel like they're our senior class. They've been with us since our freshmen got here, or their seniors got here as freshmen. So I don't, when you look at them and you understand, like, you watch them practice and, you know.
They're your veterans.
They feel like they've been there forever because they have. This is their, you know, fourth year with us, you know, barring the COVID year. But those guys are, they're all working hard right now. We're cleaning up a lot of, I would say, distractions right now, but we're going to get it cleaned up. That's saying it lightly.
Well, on one hand, when you actually came in and took over as the head coach, you went on with that youth movement in a sense, and as you mentioned, some of these sophomore players that you've had. So as far as your seniors, who are the seniors that you actually have on this team?
Colin Barnes, he's a basketball player. He come out this year. He hasn't played in a couple of years. His sophomore year was the COVID year when we had to shut down. Then he transferred to Montgomery County, played basketball over there, didn't play basketball, and then he transferred back. And as a senior, we have talked him into coming out and playing. He's going to help us try to throw on the mound a little bit. It's been a while for him. We're working with him a little bit. He's very eager to learn, and he can throw the crap out of it. So we're hoping we can dial that in. Chandler Congleton, he's going to do a little bit of everything for us. He's, you know, his bat came alive there at the end of the year. He's going to see a lot of at-bats this year and play a lot of time at first base. And maybe as a DH as well throughout the year. And then Braden Rogers has spent the last year as our leadoff hitter. When you look at a guy like Braden, you don't really see a leadoff hitter.
No, I would never think of that.
But the thing about Braden is he's the best two-strike hitter we have on our team. He doesn't strike out very much. And he hits the ball up the middle hard. That's his strength. He'll tell you, you know, if you say, Braden, what's your biggest strength as a hitter? He'll tell you, hit him with two strikes. And that's a mentality I love to have at the top of the order because he is on base a lot. He does get way more at bats than anybody else throughout the year. You guys at the top of the lineup are probably out, get 30 more at bats than everybody else on the team throughout the year. His batting average last year was just a slight couple points below 300, hitting out of a leadoff spot most of the year, which is pretty impressive with the schedule we play. We're not sure if we're going to stick him back there yet, but it is a possibility. We've tried a couple of guys out so far in some of our JV games and then some of our scrimmages that we've had. It's worked out here and there, but we're trying to. It'll be 3-4 weeks in the season before we get a lineup figured out that we like. Last year, I believe it was probably four or five 4 or 5 weeks in before we settled on something that we really liked and kept with it and being consistent.
And a lot of those changes weren't necessarily big changes as much as it was just rotation of players kind of in and out at times to see what you ended up having.
To me, it's a mentality. If you got a kid at leadoff, you may have a kid that's just as good in the nine spot at your secondary leadoff. Well, that's the way I thought it.
When I make a lineup, my ninth batter is just as good as the other four in the front. And the reason being is I cannot have an automatic out anywhere in my lineup. If you're an automatic out, you ain't playing. And we do have had some kids that are really good with the glove on defense. They can't get it done at the plate. And unfortunately, this is the way it goes. And when we're trying to be as competitive as we are, you can't find yourself in the batting lineup as often. You'll get some subs in there on defense, or you might get DH'd for or things like that. But for me, if you can hit, we're going to find a place for you.
And that may be at the DH. Do you have issues with kids? I have issues with we call it DP in softball, but it's do you have issues with kids that are the DH that don't play the field, that are like too prideful to understand that that's still a very vital spot in your lineup?
No, I haven't ran into that yet. Last year it was Braden. Braden was more than happy to. The one thing I know, I DH'd a little bit when I played, and what was problem for me was I didn't feel very involved in the game, and I think that's a mental hurdle that you have to get through.
Yeah.
But Braden's a very mentally strong individual, and he's able to handle that. And I think Chandler is going to be another kid that we can expect to hop in there at a DH probably 2 or 3 times a week, as well as play first base another 2 or 3 times a week, depending on the pitching is what's going to make those decisions for us.
Yeah, you got to find other ways to keep yourself occupied when you're in that spot, and it's. I understand it's tough, but, you got now we've got universal DH in the major leagues. Mm-hmm. It may create new positions for these kids to play as they grow older. I mean, I know it's hard in Major League Baseball. They don't want a lot of people that can just hit, but if you can hit that well, the major leagues will even find a place for you.
Yep, for sure.
As far as your team, your outlook with your team, what would you say at this point are some of your strengths? Obviously, you've not necessarily played your opening game, but as far as in practices and your scrimmages, what would you say your strengths are thus far?
Well, we have a couple of really good pitchers. Kyle Nickel is going to be one of the better pitchers in the region this year as a sophomore. He's not going to blow you away with any speed, but he can throw a fastball, curveball, change up in any count, and 4 strikes. He pitched a complete game in the district championship last year and threw like 65, 70 pitches. And we lost like 2-0, 4-2, something like that. I don't remember. But at the top, we're really top. We got 3 or 4 really good pitchers that are going to help us, but we're going to need 4 or 5 more in order for us to be successful. So I would say pitching is probably our biggest weakness right now. But if you watch us practice and you watch us hit in the cage, we should be a really good hitting and offensive team. We haven't shown that yet in our scrimmages. We faced Paintsville, who is preseason 11th in the state. They beat us 5-0 in 5 innings. Then we played Wolf County here at home. Wolf County, a very much improved team with a brand new coach, come down here, shut us down at the plate in a very, very cold, rainy, snowy day that, not making excuses, we should hit that team. We didn't. But we haven't shown that we can hit yet. But I feel like that is going to be our strength as time passes and we get, into the groove of things and into the swing of the seasons. Defensively, I really think that we're going to be as solid as we've been in quite some time.
Well, your sophomores, who are your 7th, 8th freshman, well, missed their 8th grade year, right?
Yeah.
But your 7th graders, and when they played their freshman year, those kids are now the 3rd-year starters.
Yep.
So
some of them are.
Right, but you got 3 or 4 of those guys that have been there for a couple of years. They should definitely be ready to go, be like your juniors and seniors on the ball club.
Yeah, for sure. Last year, we returned 4, maybe 5 guys that hit 300 or better, and 4 of them were freshmen.
Right.
So Austin Begley, who is out with a foot injury right now, he'll be out for the next couple of weeks. That hurts us pretty bad. LW Napier, Cam DeRosario, and I'm forgetting somebody else. We had another guy in there that hit 300 or better for sure. I know Corbin Thacker, as a junior last year, hit in 19 games. He had 21 RBIs. Pretty good bat there.
Is Corbin a senior this year or is he a junior?
He's still a junior. He took the COVID year. One of the only people in the district, I believe that.
So he took the COVID year this year.
Yeah, okay. He's a junior again this year. He's a really, really big bat for us. We're going to depend on him to do a lot of different things for us too. He's a very good outfielder. He's also a good first baseman. And it just depends on who's pitching, where we play him. He's able to do both. But we have some guys that return that should carry us quite a bit of ways.
You got the Youngstown. You got some good Youngstown as well, right, with this young group of freshmen?
Yeah, our current freshman class, they work really hard. They're very talented with the glove. Now, maturity, strength, you know, growing up, all that stuff's got to come. And I think they're going to get there. Well, I've seen a lot of good things out of those kids, and they work really hard. We play a pretty significant JV schedule right now. So we're going to get those guys a lot of reps. And next year it's going to get even worse because, you know, we're coming up with a full JV schedule, try to play about 36 games at the JV level. And we're going to go play in some pretty significant competition up there in Lexington, Louisville.
Where you have JV programs.
Where they have dedicated JV programs, dedicated JV coaches. Something that's really kind of unheard of here in the past. We play a couple JV games after the varsity games, but those don't really mean a lot, considering that most umpires come and they want to do three runs, three outs, three innings, and you're lucky to have nine players bat through.
So it's even that way in baseball?
Yes.
I'm just curious.
I'm a proponent of at least after a varsity game, unless we're, you know, an hour and a half. At Breath of County on, we'll go and play a varsity only game. You know, if we're Breath of County,
45 minutes away, right?
Anywhere around us, Morgan, Menifee, those things, we try to play at least a four inning straight up JV game.
Yeah, it's you know, it's sad when you can't get in. We got in two innings last night. That's all the other team wanted to play, which, okay, it's two innings, but you don't even get some of your kids an opportunity in to maybe get in a bat. Right. So it's
field.
Well, yeah, we had rotate outfielders and everything just try to get everybody at least a little bit of in the lineup, and that's only carrying 20. You carry more than that on your team, so it's hard to get those kids in.
Yeah, we have 23 players right now. As of right now, we have three seniors leaving us. And then we're going to have 14 new players come next year from the middle school. So,
yeah,
I don't have a choice at this point. Yeah, I got to figure out some way to get those boys on the field.
Yeah, we had talked earlier today a little bit at school, and or Frank and I did, and we had talked about the JV varsity, and I can only remember the one time when we did that, Mr. Combs and myself, he did the varsity, I did the JV, we did our own travel schedules, we did our own games, and very seldom did we even get to see how the other group was playing. So it was nice, but I thought at that time we were kind of like what you were going to be, and one of the best varsity groups and JV groups. We had kids playing JV that could have, would have, and should have maybe pushed some of those varsity guys. And it was a mix that you had to get reps in. If you don't, you're wasting the whole year. And you can't waste those years when you've got them like this.
No, definitely not.
This is, I think, at least a two-year plan for you probably now going into that, looking at it next year.
I'm hoping it just stays this way from now on, because our participation numbers in baseball are pretty big right now. There's an age group there in the Little League level that we're losing a lot of players, but just because, you know, different interests, you know, number of boys in the county, things like that. But here in the foreseeable future, I fully expect us to have a varsity team playing 36 games, JV team playing 36 games, or at least 30, and then maybe a freshman game playing 20. A lot of these teams, they like to do JV freshman doubleheaders, which was what we played on Monday at Clark County. And 2 5-inning games goes really quick. We's home by 10, especially if it's a really good game. You get a lot of good baseball in. And I think as these middle school kids move up to the high school level, they can't sit in the dugout and watch varsity games for 2 years before they're ready to play. Because, to be honest with you, the talent level in our program right now is better than it has been in a long time. And it's going to take, you know, you got a kid right in front of you that you're going to have to beat out for a job. If you can't hit or feel better than him, you ain't playing until he graduates. And they need to play meaningful baseball while they're waiting their turn.
Yeah, you got a good group now where, and I'm not knocking your older kids, but, I mean, I know what you got, kind of. It's just like sophomore down to, what, sixth grade?
Yep.
Is pretty talented in baseball right now. Yep. So what's coming is, and we knew this was going to happen when you took the job.
It's a good problem to have.
We knew this was coming, so you got to kind of plan for it as you go, and I think you've done a good job of getting ready for that.
Yeah, and this, a lot of it is managing expectations as well. I'm very honest with our players. I tell them what their roles are. We define what they can and can't do, what their strengths are, how we can use them to help us win a game, whether that be at the varsity level, JV level, or a freshman level. We have guys that aren't ever going to step on the field in a varsity game, and they know that. But they have roles and things that they can do in the dugout to help us win. And we had a practice today, and we focused on nothing but doing things like that. And hopefully that gets us bought into being more of a cohesive unit. And that way, once the wins start flowing through, nobody's going to care who's on the field because you're winning. People only care who's on the field is if you're losing. Well, my boy or my baby can do better than that kid. And he struck out four times. Well, the kid's also hit seven doubles in the last week. You know, I'm keeping him in the lineup.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, strikeouts are going to happen. Best players are going to strike out. That's part of the game. It's just, you know, you don't – you get in those things. You always got what you just said. You know, you got people saying, well, my kid's better than that. Well, maybe in a different planet. But I'm not knocking some of the parents, but that is kind of the way folks see it. I mean, and it's not necessarily that they're wrong in every facet, but some kids just aren't ready at the time. They may be ready in 2 years. But you got to be patient, and people, sometimes you've had problems before with kids coming up to that first game or second game, say, oh, coach, I'm going to quit because I didn't get to play any. Can you wait at least 2 weeks before you get too upset and see what's going on? You know, just give it a little time. Be patient.
But ultimately, it's a team sport as well, and therefore you're either buying into the team concept or is it about you?
No,
and that becomes an issue,
but
obviously.
I think for the kids, it's probably okay.
I would agree.
It's more about... The parents' expectations were it's kind of
absolutely
shattered.
You're right.
So it's a, I think if you left the kids alone, they'd be perfectly fine with the row, but when the parents get in the mix, it's like, okay, we're done, we're not doing this anymore. You know,
well, even as far as what you're doing, going back to the JV schedule and those types of games, and obviously we've had this conversation with you in the past as far as on the air, when you're building a program. And you have the opportunity to do that. That's what takes you to the next level to win those regional titles and state titles. Mm-hmm. It's when all of a sudden you sit back and you allow those kids to sit on the bench and they're not getting any hits, they're not getting in the field or anything, and all of a sudden now you're expecting them as a junior or senior to come in and think they're going to contribute when they've not been competitive those 2 years prior, and it becomes difficult, again, to go to that next stage.
Taking a kid that started his entire life up through middle school. When he comes to high school, he's sitting, you wonder why. Well, because you're not ready yet to be on this varsity team.
Yep.
Kids don't necessarily understand. I've always been a starter. I should be now. No, you're not ready yet. But that 1 year, if you take it off, they'll lose part of their fire or their drive even. And they don't maybe ever get it back. And that's kind of the sad thing. That's what I think about your program that you're going to do next year. It's the perfect way to do it. If you've got enough people to buy in. And also, you've got to sell it to administration, too, where it's sellable to where they'll be able to do it, because it gets expensive to do that.
Yeah, it definitely does. I just look, and if our goal ultimately is to win the state championship, which is pretty much unheard of here in team sports, honestly, straight up.
Yeah.
But nobody thinks that far. We're stuck on a district tournament championship for most sports. I could care less about a district tournament championship. Those don't mean anything to me. They're great, and I love beating Estill County. That's great. But once we get to that next week in that regional tournament, that's when things kick in for me. That's the tournament I really care about. You know, some years it's good to go in as a loser.
Ah, I agree.
Yeah.
Agreed.
I'm not going to sit here and I don't want to say I want to lose every district tournament. That's not true. But that's not the end of the season for me. The end of the season is that last game in that regional tournament, and there's only one team that's going to be happy, whether you're a district winner or not.
Right.
The year that
we won
the region in 2012, we were a district loser. We laid an egg against Estill County. At Azle County in that game. We played like crap. Then we come out, we beat Alex Hamilton and the Brother County Bobcats. We turned around and beat Brian Dean and the Letcher County Central Cougars. Then we sat back and watched Estill and Hazard battle it out. Hazard blew the game. Estill won. We're back in the regional championship, and we're playing the team that beat us in the district championship. And when I left Wolf County that night, I said, we are going to win the regional championship tomorrow, because I knew that as a player, I knew that was the game that we had circled, and that there was no chance we were losing that game. And since that moment forward, after I've won a regional championship, that's the only thing I ever think about.
This is a weird thing. I love to win district. Estill's dominated us since they came into the region or this district. And we have met them twice or three times in the regional championship. That's where it is. I mean, district trophy's nice. You get one anyway. If you're runner-up, you get a trophy. But the point is, you want to win a region. That regional crown is nice. We haven't had one in softball since 1993. You guys, your last one, like you said, 2012. That's too long of a gap for either one of us to go. We need more of those titles. And it's not like we've got a gym full of banners that says we've had a bunch of regional championships. Two's the most of anybody, and everybody's got – a lot of people got two, you know, but 5, 10, 15, that's where you want to go with the program. You want to get multiple regional championships where it's expected, yep. like a Hazard. Yep. Winning every – okay, let's be like Hazard.
Five straight.
What do they have against – what do they have on us? You know, it's not
– their facilities aren't any better than ours.
No.
No, no.
Their
not.
Boys put their pants on just like ours do.
Yep.
It's a culture thing.
100%. Correct. Absolutely.
And I've preached that the last week and a half to our boys. I told my boys yesterday, I said, listen, every decision you make inside the lines, outside the lines, in the car driving home, at a restaurant you're eating, you're representing Powell County Baseball. And you're representing the coaching staff and your teammates. Any decision you make, you have to think to yourself, is that going to help me win a region championship or is it going to hurt my team from winning a region championship? If it's the second option, you might need to think twice about the decision you're getting ready to make. And that, for 3 months, that's all I ask of our guys, is to think about that for 3 months. Because baseball season is a grind. We fight, we fuss, we bicker at each other all the time because we're here. I see them more than I see my kids and my wife. So it's just like a brotherhood. You fight with your siblings. But in the end, if your culture is good, that's what puts good teams over the edge. Great teams don't have bad practices. We had a bad practice yesterday. So we're not great yet. And they know that. And I've told them. I'm honest with them. Today we had a great practice. And I told them today, this has to happen every day. Not me coming to practice and making you run super sprints before we throw the ball, before we pick up a baseball, but in order for that to get that out of you. Shouldn't have to happen.
You got to want it.
Yeah, bring the right attitude.
You got to show up every day and ready to play.
Great practices become normal practices instead of just great practices. They're just normal.
Well, then that equates into gameplay. Live games at that point because you've already practiced it. You've been there, and you know what it takes in order to do that.
And I'll go one step further. If you could get that great practice into your normal practice every day, this is what coaching is about, is developing that young man or woman into a person who's going to go out and represent whatever they do in life. And if they already got that started in high school, that to me is where high school athletics is so important for our community and our people, because those are the kids we want out there. Those are the kids we want to go work for us. Those are the kids that are going to rebuild and restructure what we got here in Powell County. It's about how you hold yourself. And that comes from, to me, it comes more from high school sports than anything you can learn in a book.
Exactly what you said came out of my mouth today at the poll before we started running.
And we didn't talk about it either, did we?
Had no idea. That came out of my mouth today, and I used Daniel Poe as an example. He went off to college. He's 20 years old. Now he's back. You know, he's a manager up there at the Gorge Underground making a lot of money, making bank, one of the best tour guides up there.
But doesn't care to work.
But he goes up there and works every day, and he represents himself with dignity.
Right.
So we have kids right now that aren't doing that very well outside of the baseball team. So we're trying to get that out of every single person on our team, so that way when people look at us and they can look at us and our program and our culture and be like, that team's got it going on.
Well, you'd actually alluded to that even last week as far as when you were playing and you all are arriving, it was like, oh, there's the kids from Powell County, because there was a certain expectation of what people were going to see on and off the field.
Yeah, I mean, we go back to even years when we watch a team walk in, and Clark County always did this really well. They walked in 2x2. Nobody got out of line. Nobody's making a lot of noise. They're walking in together. They all got the same outfit on. They put all their stuff down. They get their stuff ready. And they're business. They're at business. It doesn't matter what it is. You know, they walk in a certain way. They walk out a certain way. They hold their head high regardless. And they have fun. They got smiles on their face when they're playing. You know, it's you strike out, you smile. You strike somebody out, you smile. It doesn't matter what you do. It's you got the same concept, and you got pride in your program. I mean, that's where it is. And I'm a baseball person here in this community. I grew up playing baseball and love it. Love the sport. And you know it's the most successful, in my opinion, the most successful program here. But we got to get better than where we are.
Absolutely.
I mean, I'm not knocking Frank or anything. It's just we've got such talent here. And so many people doing so much work for free.
Yep.
That everybody deserves a piece of that. We got to, and I'm not, you know, we're behind in softball on that aspect. And that's maybe my fault. But on the baseball side, how many people are pushing Powell County Baseball to do better in this community right now?
A lot of people. We have so many players that their parents and grandparents played Powell County Baseball. I've had that conversation for years. Like when you come on and you put this jersey on, there are so many people before you that wore that same number that would die and kill somebody to get back in that jersey one more time.
Yeah.
And you're taking advantage of it. And when you're gone and you're not playing anymore, the first thing you're going to do is to come back and tell me, Coach, I missed this. That happened to me about 3 weeks ago with our seniors that just left. They come by and they're like, man, Coach, I miss being out here. I'm like, you're welcome anytime. But just think, could you have done more while you were here to help us win more games?
And you're
going to
get a yes most of the time.
And they're like, 100% you're going to get a yes.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, and it's great to have that culture. We're going to step away for a break here. We're having a lot of fun, but step away from a break, pay some bills here on BCSN Live.
WSKV depends upon community partners like Davis & Davis Funeral Home to help bring you great programs like an all-new Powell County Sports Network Live with Dave and Ken this Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. or on demand at listenlikealocal.com. Davis & Davis Funeral Home, helping families connect, honor, and remember.
At Mercy Health, Powell County Primary Care, we deliver expert family care right in your neighborhood. Love the game and listen right here on 104.9 Pickup Country.
When you need insurance, contact Whitaker Insurance Group in Stanton, proud sponsors of the live broadcast of your Powell County Pirates on Pickup Country 104.9 FM.
If you've been waiting on the new Samsung Galaxy S22 device, then the team at Appalachian Wireless has some good news for you. Appalachian Wireless is launching all Samsung S22 models on sale. Every S22 model will be $150 off normal contract pricing. Or take $100 off and we'll pay the taxes on the Appalachian Advantage. Visit one of our retail or dealer locations and on the web, because we don't want you to miss this fantastic deal. We are you. We are Appalachian Wireless.
Again, we're talking off the air. Sorry about that. We could carry these conversations on the air, but some of them aren't maybe to that level yet. So what's the district looking like for again this year? Is it kind of what it has been in the last few years?
Yeah. I will say the Lee and Owsley, they put a lot of effort at this time into developing the players that they have and the ones that play baseball. It's really hard for those schools to get the athletes to be on a baseball team, especially – since it's been so long since they've been successful. You watch their basketball and basketball teams, obviously. They're both got some athletes on those teams.
Mm-hmm.
If they could figure a way to persuade those guys from a younger age to get into the baseball realm of things, they would be greatly more competitive. And you're seeing that right now with Wolf County. Wolf County's got a group of kids that are, you know, eighth graders to sophomores that are really, really good. You see a Wolf County team, if they weren't wearing blue and white, you wouldn't even recognize them. But Estill is going to be pretty stout. A lot of people are picking them to be in the running for the regional championship, which is, you know,
that's normal though,
run
right?
Of the mill for them.
Yeah.
We talked about that before you came in. Was just Estill kind of seems like they're up there kind of with Hazard. Is an mm-hmm. expectation is we're going to be in the regional mix, and I think Powell County is used to being in that spot.
We've not been in that spot lately, the last probably 5 years.
But it's where we need to be.
There's no question. And I told our boys the other day, I was like, listen. No matter what our record is, who, you know, how bad of our season we've had, or, you know, the last couple of years, who cares? When people schedule Powell County and you show up and you have PCHS across your chest, they know the program. They don't know who you are individually, but they know that they're getting into a good game with a history, you know, of a good program. So you're going to get their number one pitcher. They're going to get their number two pitcher. They're going to show up and play the game. You saw that with Knott County. We won 14 games last year. Knott County knew that if they did not pitch their number one pitcher in the regional tournament, we had a chance to beat them, right? So a team like us that wasn't very good, that didn't win a lot of games, made a lot of mistakes, we were young, to have the regional player of the year start in the opening round of the regional tournament when they could obviously saved him and probably won the region if they didn't pitch him the first game. They're coming out of the gate in the first round of the regional tournament when we're probably – one of the lowest ranked teams in the tournament, but they still don't trust it. They know that it's Powell County. They can do anything,
yeah. Right?
Regardless of who's on the team.
My thing always was with Powell County baseball. I forget how many one streaks there was there one time we won districts in a row, but every year we won. It didn't matter. Every year we won a district or whatever. It was about, okay, how deep of a run are you going to make? Nobody wanted to draw Powell County in a bracket. As a loser coming out with Estill County, if you do lose, nobody wants to draw Estill. Nobody wants to draw Powell. Nope. That doesn't matter your winner or your loser. You don't want the 56th district as your draw. I don't care which team you are in the 14th. And I don't think it's changed in the last 5 years. I don't think you want a Powell County team or an Estill County team ever loses the district as your matchup in the first round of your regional game. I don't think you want that as any team.
And you run into that thing too, because people overthink the regional tournament. Like, when you show up and you know that you drew an Estill or a Powell, it should be no question that you should throw your best pitcher, because you can't get to the second game without winning the first game. And I take that as well. Like, yeah. Whoever I've got, you know, there's very rarely where you're going to throw off on a first game. And more often times than not, it bites them in the butt. It bit Perry Central in the butt a couple years ago. They didn't throw their best pitcher against Breathitt County. Breathitt County beat them, turned around the next night, beat us in the bottom of the last inning, and then turned around and ended up getting beat by Hazard. But by that time, they were out of juice. Like,
yeah, it takes three studs to get you.
They made a big long run because Perry Central chose not to throw their best player. They put him in later in the game, but it was too late by then. The game was over. You know, Breathitt was hot that year, and they're another team this year that's going to be in the thick of things. They got a lot of good baseball players.
But I'm not knocking Breathitt County at all. But they're hit and miss. It's not a every year you expect this team to be part of the 14th region mix.
Right.
And, you know, it's just anybody in the 55th. I'm not knocking those guys, but you don't expect those to be powerhouses in baseball. Just like,
and that's historically.
Historically, you know, when Brian was at Letcher, I think you thought more about how that sport was going there. You know, Gary Hammonds at Knott County. I know you know Gary when he was coaching up there. He was like, okay, that team is going to be in the championship game probably every year. You know, they were. That's the kind of thing Hazard's got going on right now. Yep. You just sometimes it swings here. You got Perry Hazard always going to be tough for the 53rd. You don't want either one of those two. I don't think you want the 56th. 54th, 55th, it kind of matters on what they got going on. But you could have that phenomenal pitcher 1 year and just you can go somewhere and beat somebody. But now normally for the entire course of a regional tournament, you don't want to go through Estill, Powell, Hazard, Knott, Perry. Those five are probably the five traditional strong teams, I would think,
yeah,
in baseball.
I would argue that Breathitt County historically, not been great.
Historically.
The last couple of years, their talent level has made a tremendous jump. They've got a really good core of players, really good pitchers. That's their strength. They've got guys. They've got three or four guys, 85 plus. They got a kid hitting 90.
Well, that's impressive.
It is impressive, and it's just they work. You know, Coach Hamilton. I'm really good friends with him. He is constantly working those boys, and I take.
How many of those guys play football?
Most of them. And most of them play basketball as well.
And I'm not knocking. I'm just saying, I'm doing the correlation here. Those kids get bigger, stronger in the weight room for football. Maybe do a little bit more, maybe more balanced sport in both basketball. And then you come out of baseball, man, you're ready to go. I mean, that's just part of the physical progression that you need to be successful at this sport.
Yeah, I've encouraged all of my baseball players. A lot of them play basketball. But I've encouraged all of them to play football. I love it. When you walk onto the field, you can tell. When we played Paintsville, you knew which one of those guys played football, and it was probably about 90% of them. Yeah. Third baseman comes out, and he's got thighs about as big as round as a 5-gallon bucket and can run and looks like he's, you know, treaded from stone. And then he gets to the plate and rips one down the line and then gets to the mound and throws 92 at you.
Yeah.
There's a correlation there.
Well, I remember 1980. I believe it was 1980. That's a way back, but – and it could have been even 79. We were playing Hazard. They were played in the second round of the regional tournament, but they had six D1 signees for football. Mm-hmm. A couple signees for baseball, but most of those, and they could, you're talking about could hit. I mean, when they hit it, it hurt the ball. I mean, I'm telling you, but that's kind of how they were doing it back then. That's how Hazard, they just did with the athletes. They were playing football, they were playing baseball, basketball, didn't matter. School that size, you've got to play them all to be successful for all your programs.
Yep.
And I think those kids do.
Yeah. I wish we had a lot more of that going on here. I think it would help our football program more than it would help us, honestly.
It would.
I'm a big football guy as well. I, you know, gave up the coaching gig because I feel like I wasn't giving enough to my current program. But I'm encouraging all these middle school kids, go play football. And they're like, well, we're not very good. I'm like, yeah, because our best athletes aren't playing the game.
because and they're afraid, we're not very good.
And we're afraid, yeah. we're afraid to get hurt. I'm like, you're only going to get hurt if you're weak and you don't do it right. You know, there are freak accidents, don't get me wrong. But playing football, in my opinion, is one of the most rewarding things you can do as a high school player or as a high school athlete, period. You get things out of football you don't get anywhere else. And that's just my opinion.
Yeah, that breeds over into other sports, as, yeah. as you're talking about, in a sense. So all of a sudden, that mentality, you bring that to the different field, and at that point, you have that winning, strong mental and physical mentality, and it's like, we can compete, because I've already been there, done that, and grounded out, pushing off against somebody offensively, defensively, whatever. When you smack somebody, you bring that same mindset of saying, I'm bringing the bat to the ball, I'm going to smack the fire out
but
of
I
it.
Think, I think, too, people go back to where in a day where weightlifting made you not throw as hard. Weightlifting makes you not swing as well. We're not there anymore.
That's false.
But we that mentality, I think, is still out there somewhere, because it used to be – that was a thought.
I don't want to get too big.
Yeah.
I'm going to be as flexible.
Yeah, depending on which sport
correct.
It was.
But now, you look at these Major League Baseball, those guys are like – they're not normal. And they're lifting every day, every morning before a game, before practice. They're lifting weights every day. So,
they're lifting before a start, before they get on the mound.
Yes, and used to, that would be unheard of.
Yep.
You know, don't go play basketball today. It makes your shot up. They're lifting every morning. Everybody's doing this before they play. It's normal. So we got to change our way we're looking at things. It's you got to get better, stronger.
And I have a solution to that, if anybody wants to listen to it. I think this town and this county needs a dedicated strength and conditioning coach for all programs. They should be able to be in a classroom, in the weight room, with only athletes. You don't have these other hoodlums in there causing trouble. And, you know, let's say baseball happens to be, you know, fifth period throughout the day. Fifth period, my baseball team goes and sees a strength and conditioning coach. They work for an hour. Let's say that you're an honor student, and you can't get that class that period. Well, you have a pre-school session with that strength and conditioning coach, and you call it the winning period. You get there at 6:30 in the morning, you lift before school. And then all of a sudden, you're going to see a big jump in every athletic
Everything.
Program.
Yeah.
Agreed, yeah.
I think that would benefit our girls' sports more than anything.
Well, if we don't get stronger, that's why I think, in my opinion, that's why we're losing. Mm-hmm. This girls' basketball team is pretty good until you face somebody stronger. And it'll wear you down. And the kids have got to get stronger. And you talking about guys in the gym. Rob's in the gym all the time.
Yeah.
He knows how important it is. He's going to put those kids through that or try to, but they're going to bucket maybe. And
it's not consistent. It's not every day. Like we lift all throughout the winter. But when the season starts, all of a sudden, we don't have time.
Y'all make time.
I got bunt defenses to put in. I got BP to throw. I got all that stuff. You know, we're going to be out here 7 hours a night. You know, that's too much. But if you get it done during the school day, and you take your lowest stipend, my lowest stipend, every other assistant coach's lowest stipend, you combine them into one, pay the person, and then maybe give them a classified job throughout the day at the school so they can help pay their bills.
That's a great idea.
Or find you a really good PE guy and put them in a spot at the school and let it roll.
I was thinking, like, you know, I have friends that are certified. They went to college to be strength and conditioning coaches. They're personal trainers. They build programs. You need somebody that has the knowledge to build a program based on the need for that athlete.
Sure.
And that
different
athletic
need
event.
For each athlete.
Yeah. A golfer is not going to need the same weightlifting regimen as a football player.
No.
They still need to do stuff, but it's more of a flexibility, calisthenic.
Each kid has got to have a different one for their needs, period.
And that's why you need to be certified professional. And obviously they're going to need to get paid somehow, so there's my solution to give them a coaching stipend. They show up. They're on the sidelines. You see strength and conditioning coaches all the time on football sidelines.
Oh, absolutely.
Rob Harris is on the bench at the basketball. You know, he works with those guys. They're invested in the programs as well.
Well, it's no different than Michael Stone at UK.
Correct, yeah.
He's an academic guru down there. But they got strength guys. They got conditioning guys. They got nutritionists. They got – if you could have everything, we could be great. We could be like Trinity.
Or St. X.
And those
guys
who, I'm sure, guess what, probably have some of those things.
Yeah,
some of those
guaranteed.
Things.
Yeah.
And they pay them.
Yeah, pay them well.
And I know everybody. That's where everybody's going to go with is like, we don't have the money to pay them. Well, you have classified positions throughout the day. Let them be an aide and talk. Let them be like, you know, a around the school aide. You know, maybe they might have four or five sessions.
Make it a district position.
It might have four or five different sessions you need to work. But they can also go do morning duties for you. They can do lunch duties for you. They can do afternoon duties for you. They can direct traffic at the top of the hill for you in the afternoon, because that's a nightmare. There's so many things that you can get done with those, with a person, just one person.
But I think it's easier to make it a district person that does that job, because it's so tied into your numbers that you're allowed, you're allotted. If we could make it a different district position, it would go pretty easily, I would think. And not hard to do. We create jobs all the time.
And nobody would bat an eye about somebody creating a position like that.
No, nobody would argue with that one. The other jobs that we may argue with, but those jobs, I think, to benefit our kids, that's where we need to go. We'll take another break here on PCS and I. We ran over, but that's okay. We'll be back in a moment.
Ace Hardware, East College Avenue, Stanton, want to wish the best for your Powell County Pirates at their sporting events and their academics, at home or wherever life takes them. Next time you need an item for your lawn or garden, building needs, small or large project, plumbing, electrical, tools, including Craftsman, DeWalt, Husqvarna, and so much more, remember your Ace Hardware right here in Stanton, East College Avenue, Ace, the helpful place.
Pre-planning your funeral should be a natural part of life, because it provides you with time to make end-of-life decisions in a calm and rational atmosphere. Start the online planning process now, or meet with one of our pre-planning advisors here at Davis & Davis Funeral Home for your end-of-life celebration. We also offer tribute videos, memorial websites, and live funeral webcasting. Contact Davis & Davis Funeral Home to discuss the possibilities. Find us online at davisanddavisfuneralhome.com or visit us at 777 West College Avenue in Stanton.
All right, we're gonna change gears here just for the last few minutes here. Let's talk about Major League Baseball, Cincinnati Reds. We've blown it up. I know Frank's a Reds fan also. Trade today, Amir Garrett for used to be a good pitcher. He's making about $11 million a year. So yesterday we traded Suarez, Winker for – did you see the grades on the trade, by the way?
Mm-mm.
Reds got a higher grade than did the Mariners. Reds got a B+. They got a B-. Now, that was one of those weird guys that looking at it and saying, okay, we got upside. We did get two upside guys. We got two guys that were just throwing guys. Mm-hmm. We gave away Suarez. The trade was really for a Winker. I'm a Suarez fan, but last year we hit, what, 199?
Yeah, he's had a rough year.
Yeah, so I don't know what Suarez will get. What they're going to get back. They're not even looking at him to be a starter full-time. But basically, it was just Winker. So the Reds are dumping salary. Why do we add salary today? Just a question.
I have no idea. here's what. It could be a visual thing. Amir Garrett did not have the best year last year.
Correct.
A lot of, you know, blown saves. And he come out last year. You know, we loved him. He took on the whole Pirates team by himself.
Yep.
And he was kind of a cult favorite in Cincinnati. But then his performance on the field didn't really live up to his mouth on Twitter and his antics on the field. I think – maybe giving him up, you know, could have sent an example to the other players in the organization. And when you actually go out and find somebody that could possibly be an upgrade, you call to your fans and be like, hey, we're trying to be competitive, when in reality we know they're not.
Well, I do think, though, that we talked about this during the break. They got a good core group of players.
Yep.
It's in their infield. They got Jonathan India. They got either Barrero or Farmer at shortstop, which I thought Farmer was going to be a kind of a joke, but he did a really good job for the Reds last year.
I love Kyle Farmer.
Third base, who knows whether Moustakas with his contract is going to stay there, or if we go a different direction. They got a kid.
Senzel play third base in college.
Correct. Or we got Reese Hines down in the minors, who was a third baseman that they're trying to play in the left field. So, big power guy. We'll see how that plays out. I think they got some good young talent. It's going to be fun to watch. You can probably watch some of that when you go to watch maybe a Legends game if you want to just drive to Lexington versus Cincinnati.
Yeah, it seems to me like they're trying to take the Tampa Bay Rays aspect of running an organization. Tampa Bay, they know people don't go to their games. You know, it's just like going to Cincinnati. You can get tickets pretty readily, easily. But, like, Tampa Bay, they have a low payroll, a lot of players that you don't really know, and they're in the playoffs every single year.
Different. It's a. I think they go about it a little bit differently, though.
And I think the Reds may, I'm just an assumption, they may be going in that direction. Like the Oakland Athletics. And,
well, you hope they have a plan.
Yeah.
Right.
In my head, I'm praying that they have a plan and there's an end game to it.
Yeah.
And I hope they're just not dumping players that we all like.
Well, I mean, to me,
we're not happy. I don't know a Reds fan that's happy right now.
I'm not sure there's a plan. Which, what was it, 5 years ago we tried to blow it up and we didn't. We only got rid of half the guys.
Yeah.
And I tell D and the girls, if you're going to blow it up, you got to blow it up.
Don't give us hope.
Correct. I mean, if you're going to do it all, you got to get rid of Votto. You got to go ahead and get rid of Malley. You got to go ahead and get rid of Castillo. As bad as I'd say that.
Yep.
Those guys got to go.
If I'm Joey Votto, I'm super, super mad about it.
I'm letting him trade me now, I think.
Because he spent his whole career there. He's at the end of his prime. I don't want to say he's out of his prime yet because he can still play. But he's not got a year or 2 years left, but he could produce like he has been.
And we're playing for 2025.
And we are just letting that man suffer, right?
We're playing. With what we've got right now, we're playing for 2025. We're not playing for 2022 or 3.
Yeah.
This is a 2024, 2025 kind of gig. Then they'll try to trade all those guys in 2024, 25, and then I'll be...
Yeah, you'll be on the cusp, and they'll turn around and get rid of them.
Throwing a fit again, so I don't know. It just seems like it's been a constant turnaround with the Castellini group. Maybe it's just time for new ownership package in Cincinnati. I don't know.
I think there's a new ownership needed in any number of organizations.
For sure.
Well, if they're not going to put the bill for a professional team, we need to just find somebody else that will. That's just kind of where it goes from there. So hope you listen up, our Cincinnati fans. Just get rid of Bob. Trade Bob.
I think if you're going to go out of your way to buy a franchise of some sort, you have to have some sort of ambition to bring that franchise up to where, you know, they're competitive. Because in the end, a competitive franchise and somebody that's going to bring you championships – they're going to make you money.
You're making billions. Right.
You're going to make you money. Like, you got TV deals now.
Yeah.
You got sponsors in and out of your offices now. You got players wanting to flock to you. Now, you're a small market team like Cincinnati. You don't become a small market team anymore. Now,
did you know what happened today?
What?
Those are protests.
I heard people were going to go to the and do that up there.
Yeah, protests today over the Reds, what they're doing. And then we trade Garrett. So, hello. It worked, guys.
Didn't work.
So, anyway. First game Friday night against Morgan County on the road. Then you'll play Saturday, two games here, hopefully, weather permitting.
Light rain. Pray for light rain, if anything.
You tarp the field tomorrow night, Friday night?
We'll probably tarp the field,
There you go.
And we will probably have Monday night's game against Fleming County.
We won't. You will.
Yep. Well, there you go. I forget at times that, you know. But we're planning on having the Fleming County game on WSKV and hopefully Facebook Live as well.
And possibly Wednesday night's game with Perry Central, I think, is next week as well, right?
Yeah, we have a lot of home games early.
Yeah.
Catch you early or don't catch you at all, right?
Yeah. I don't know who made that schedule.
Oh, by the way, and I want to throw this out there, too, to give you an opportunity here. You had your Chili Supper Auction Saturday Hall of Fame.
Yep.
How'd that go? And you got anybody to thank for that?
First of all, I want to say congratulations to Ronald Davis and Jimmy Crace for being our new inductees
well-deserved to
the Hall of Fame. Our Hall of Fame is a very prestigious honor. It's very difficult to get in. There are a lot of great, great baseball players, baseball coaches who have still yet to be able to get in. They're still on the ballot, and it just takes a few votes here and there to swing your way in order for you to get in. But congratulations to those guys first and foremost. To everyone else, we had so many people donate to the auction. Our players and parents and coaches worked really hard to put that together. And that's the one thing that I hate most about being a coach is fundraising. And baseball gets expensive. You know, I ordered helmets. I got quotes for helmets today. You know, 15 batting helmets. I try to get one for every kid, and it's like $700. You know, it's pretty ridiculous. But
how about your baseballs this year, by the way?
Well, I ordered my baseballs like in November. They were $70 a dozen.
Okay.
Now the same baseballs are almost 100.
Yeah. I just was curious. 115.
Yeah, they're almost 100 now.
Yeah, for softballs.
And I'm picky about the baseballs we use. You know, unless we're in the postseason, we have to use Spaldings. But I use Diamond DOLAs. That's what I use. They're the best baseballs out there. But as for the Chili Supper, we had a very successful, you know, auction. My wife worked really hard. Chelsea Townsend helped with the auction as well. My brother was the auctioneer. He does the best he can. He's not an auctioneer, but he knows how to get people to spend money. He's very persuasive, and he's funny, so he keeps people engaged in the auction as well. My coaching staff, all the coaches' wives that showed up to help tag the items, Christy Poe, Cassandra Begley, all those guys, they helped tremendously. We had so many people come and help out. Our Cheryl, the cafeteria worker, was in there at 3 o'clock cooking chili for us. The school administration, for one thing, Doug Brewer, Martina, Miss Ritchie, they all helped us out to make sure that we got everything together and you know, dealt with my emails back and forth, asking the questions and making sure everything was cool. We got a snow scare Friday night, so I'm out at 9 o'clock in the morning running roads trying to gauge if it's going to be melted by 5 o'clock, and luckily it was. And you know, we were anxious, and we didn't want to move it. We had a plan, but we didn't really want to move it because that would impact a lot of things. But we definitely had a successful time, raised a ton of money for our boys. We're looking forward to, you know, getting them some new uniforms and things like that. And that's kind of where the bulk of the money is going to go, is into new uniforms. We have uniforms that are not very old, but I would like to have a lot of more options to pick from.
It's hard to help. It's hard sometimes. You got a group this year, and next year's group, they're not necessarily the same size kids, and
yeah,
it's hard to kind of switch them in and out every season. So,
and I'd like to prolong the life of them, and if you have more to pick from on a daily basis, you're going to be able to use a uniform for 9-10 years, probably, depending that you lose some, which I've lost a bunch.
Happens.
I lose 2 or 3 jerseys every year, and that may not necessarily be the kids' fault. That's my worst thing as a coach. I don't keep up with jerseys, and I don't make them turn them in right when the season's over with. So
We got to do a better job of doing that.
Yeah, I'm terrible at it. I have a day where they all come in and they give me their stuff and I hang it up in the locker room, but you know, half of them can't get there.
I learned this the hard way. Most of the guys and girls now, we're going to tell our girls, wear a t-shirt to district championship, wear a t-shirt to regional, whatever you're playing. You wear one every night because we're turning the jerseys in today.
Yeah.
Put on the bus.
I'm going to put an assistant coach on that one for me.
That's the best plan.
We usually wear the same color in the postseason anyway, so after that, I'm just going to just bring all your jerseys. At the end of the game, hopefully we're going to take them off at Whitaker Bank Ballpark, or no, Kentucky Proud Park now.
There you go.
Hopefully that's where we're taking them off and collecting them. But
you guys got the, by the way, baseball has now, what, a two-tier state tournament?
Yeah, correct? So they went away from the sectionals, which I'm a fan of. The sectional was garbage to me. I think if you win the region, you should go to the state tournament, period, just like basketball. If you're not going to class baseball or basketball, you need to send everybody and let them experience it.
But everybody's going, but it's like in a 2-week process,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so the first week of the state tournament is on June 2nd through that Saturday, and you'll play your first 2 rounds that week. And then the following week on that Thursday through Saturday is your Final Four and your championship game.
So basically now they're doing this where for baseball, if you got 2 really good pitchers,
you got a chance.
You got a chance. We're used to it was 3 and 4.
Yeah, I think when I played against Woodford County, they won that tournament with two pitchers.
Two pitchers, yeah.
So it was
spaced
It was spaced far enough away to where,
because they had sectionals then.
No, we didn't have sectionals.
You didn't have sectionals?
No, I don't know how it was scheduled, but there was, you know, if you pitched the first game,
you come back for game.
You
3.
Had another pitcher the second game, probably the next day, and then you had a couple of days in between. So that was your 3 days rest. You can come back and pitch again, and then your starter from the second game had their 3 days rest.
And that's what happened. Falcon, that year, Greg and I think were there doing that game at
Woodford County. Clinton Holland, who's a Powell County, should be in Powell County,
but be in Powell County.
Went on to, you know, get drafted by the Blue Jays, and then Logan Parrott, who was coach's son, both of them throwing the 90s.
Yeah, threw well.
And we, you know, we were competitive with them, but
it was a good game. I mean,
it's one of the coolest things I've ever been part of, and I want nothing more for all these kids to experience something like that.
It's a joy. It's a fight. It's a struggle to get there, but you got to be able to put everything behind you, commit for the team.
Yep.
You got to commit yourself and do what the team needs, not what necessarily the individual kids needs to do. So let's all do that for Powell County Baseball in 2022 and see where we can go from there.
Hopefully we have a good year.
We appreciate it, buddy.
Yeah.
We'll step away for another break here on PCSN Live with Dave and Ken.
For joining us for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken right here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM. Streaming live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKB app for Android and Apple users. Don't forget, tonight's program is available on our on-demand player at listenlikealocal.com. Powell County Sports Network would like to thank their sponsors, Whitaker Bank, Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Powell County CSEP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, Citizens Guarantee Bank, Park Regional Medical Center, Hinkle Contracting, Davis and Davis Funeral Home, Toyota South, Ace Hardware and Feed, People's Exchange Bank, Teddy Flint Attorney at Law, Whitaker Insurance Group, Protect Security and Fire Systems, and Apex Physical Therapy. Stream the game to any internet-connected mobile device, made possible in part by Apex Network Physical Therapy, located at 156 West College Avenue in Stanton.